Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring subject matter experts from the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of the Conversation, I'm chatting with Lydia Gerges. She is Supervisor of Advocacy Services with Domestic and Sexual Violence Services in the Department of Family Services. A lot of services there going on. Our topic today is advocacy services, what it is and what they do. Lydia, thanks for being here on the podcast. Looking forward to learning about advocacy services and what it is.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely glad to have you and discuss this topic, which is a very important topic. A lot of stuff to cover, and I tried to pin you down before we started talking about what is most important. You wouldn't give me any idea, so give me an overview about what we're talking about when we say advocacy services, domestic and sexual violence advocacy services.
Definitely. Advocacy services is very unique to every person.
Mm.
We try to provide emotional support. We try to provide information and resources for individuals who are impacted by domestic or sexual violence, human trafficking, and stalking. So our services is very tailored to a person who we are, who was impacted by domestic violence, sexual violence, human trafficking, or stalking.
So I know everybody's different, as you just said. It's individualized. Say someone walks into your office, calls you on the phone. Let's just take a victim of domestic or sexual violence services. Where would that process start then if they were to contact your office? How would you go about that?
So individuals can call us, or we are located in a lot of different locations in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We try to go to where the people are to have more accessible services. And everyone comes from a different walk of life.
Right.
So we just do an intake with everyone who comes into our office, whether it's someone who's looking for support for a loved one or a survivor themselves who are looking for support. And we try to see where they want to go. I want to say that advocacy is like, we're like the GPS. You tell us where you want to go, where you want to end up at, and we try to give you information and resources of how to get there. Our ultimate goal is to make sure that everyone who comes to our office or to come to one of our 5 locations in the community, is able to better plan for their safety in one way or another. Some people, they are better planning for their safety by going to court, getting a protective order, or by finding housing, alternative housing, emergency housing. Others would be, trying to plan for their safety while they're in their relationship. So it really depends on the person and how and where they want to go. And we try to get them there by providing them that emotional support, but also information and resources about what is available for them to get where they need to go.
I was looking at your webpage, and that was one of the things I noticed on there of all the long list of things was safety planning. You mentioned a couple of areas there very quickly. Kind of give me an idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about safety planning. Kind of give me an overview, and then maybe we can dive into a couple of things you mentioned there in the safety area.
Definitely. We try to build on what is the survivor already are doing, and we build on that.
Hmm.
So we talk about what does safety look like for the person. Some people going to court, it's a safe place. It's going to law enforcement. That's their way of planning for their safety. Others could be just relocating from their home and going to an emergency housing, or just someone who can work with the schools if they have children. We work also with safety around pets. There is an amazing resource with the county, Pet Haven. So that's actually one of the programs that we work with and with survivors to connect with. So it really depends on what the person is already doing,
mm-hmm.
and we build on it. It's not like we have a template that everyone has to go through it, because everyone has their own lives and their own needs. And based on that, we actually work with them to get where they are, their ultimate goal is. If someone is coming to us and saying, I'm in an abusive relationship, I want to stay in my relationship, but I want to plan for my safety. So we talk about, like, what do you need? Do you need a camera in your in common areas? Do you need an extra phone?
I would never thought about that.
Yeah, we actually have one of the things that we do. We have very limited financial assistance, so we kind of try to be as creative as possible.
Oh, okay.
So we try to be as creative as possible to think about what do you need to do. Like, we had people before come to us and say, "I just want to keep everything in a safe or in like storage room. Can you help connect me with agencies that can help me get a storage room? So if I decided to leave at any time, I have that option." We talk about, like, packing a bag, having all the important documents with them. So if someone wants to stay in a relationship, but they want to be safe in their relationship, we would work with them how to do that. Mm-hmm. If they decided, they come to us and say, no, I want to leave that relationship, but I want to leave in the safest way possible, we talk to them about, talking to their schools, talk about protective order, talking about where you need to go, when can you go. Because the time when someone decides to leave an abusive relationship, that's the most dangerous time, usually, where the violence actually escalates. So we talk to them about how can you leave safely. If somebody already have left and working, like, needs more assistance into staying safe, whether it's by applying for address confidentiality program or just looking into relocation, we would work with them on all these, like, details to get where they need to get to. So that's what I'm saying, is safety planning is very individualized. It's not a template that works for everyone.
Right.
Also, we have very culturally specific, we have in advocacy services, we have multiple languages spoken by different staff. We have native speakers from different countries who work with us to kind of connect clients to culturally specific resources. So this is why I'm saying it's very different between every person.
It's hard to pin you down on specifics because, yeah, it's so broad and so much. Mm-hmm. I can understand now. You mentioned in the safety planning of someone was going to court. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever actually been to court for a court case or involved in any legal action or anything like that. You know, knock on wood. But I'm. If I had to go, I think it would be scary for me. I can only imagine if someone is, you know, a victim of domestic or sexual violence and then they've got to go to a court. Do you help navigate or guide them through the process? How does that work?
Definitely. So we have two advocates who are located inside of the courthouse to help with civil cases like protective order or violation of protective order. Our staff is there to help with the initial preliminary protective order process, just to kind of give more information, to talk about safety planning related to a protective order. How can you get a protective order and what does that mean?
Yeah.
We don't give legal advice. We're not attorneys.
Right.
But we talk about everything around, like, after you get a preliminary protective order, what's the process after that? And we have a staff member who goes in final protective order hearings with clients, or petitioners at that point, to help them with safety in the courthouse, to sit down with them in the courthouse if they need to. And sometimes we do connect with legal services if that's something that's needed.
Okay.
It really depends on the case, but we do offer petitioners, that we can go with them, for emotional support throughout the court hearing. For criminal cases, usually VSD, which is a victim services division, with the police department, usually go with survivors to criminal cases. We sometimes help support clients if we're already working with them, if they need us to come in with them. But it mainly victim services usually would work with them in regards of notification, attend hearings with them. That's when it comes to criminal cases.
Right.
But I agree with you. Going to court can be very scary, and very intimidating for a survivor. And so we try to kind of work with them from the how are you getting there? Where are you parking? Do you need a taxi? Can we figure out funding to get taxi for you to come and pick you up and drop you off? Where are you going to meet the advocate? Where are you going to be sitting? What if you run into the other person?
Right.
What can you do? So we talked to them from like
way early.
And we do have our main office at the historical courthouse, which is across the street from the main courthouse.
Yeah, yeah.
So if, for example, someone is scared to go to the courthouse by themselves, they can come and meet at our office and we can walk them there. Also, after the hearing, we talk to them about whether if the protective order has been denied or if it's been continued, what option do they have? If it's been granted, what does that mean? And also, if they're concerned about going walking to their car, we would kind of talk to the sheriff, get them escorted back to their... Mm. So we try to make sure that they are safe throughout the whole process.
Right. Yeah, it's a whole lot different, my air quote here, the average person going to court versus, you know, a victim or someone going through this. You know, there's a lot of other things that they've got to be thinking about, is, you know, just get from point A to point B, let alone the court process itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. We are on the County Conversation podcast talking with Lydia Gerges. She is Supervisor of Advocacy Services with Domestic and Sexual Violence Services. We've been kind of talking about safety planning and navigating the legal system. You mentioned earlier on emergency housing. Let's talk about emergency housing as well as emergency sheltering, because that is also one of the areas y'all are involved in. So talk to me a little bit about that.
So we work with Artemis House, which is Shelter House, in regard of relocating individuals who are unsafe or in immediate danger.
Hmm.
We actually have an agreement with them. If someone, we have something called the Lethality Assessment Protocol, where we do Lethality Assessment Protocol.
Okay.
Where we do a lethality assessment if someone scores high or they are in a high danger situation. We would make a referral directly to Artemis House, to the emergency shelter here in Fairfax County, and work with them into relocating that person. Mm. Also, we work with Bethany House, which is the other emergency housing / transitional housing. We've had before a situation where victim of domestic violence or sexual violence are assaulted here in Fairfax County, but they're not Fairfax County residents.
Oh.
With that situation, we work with the emergency housing in that county or city of residency to make sure they are connected with them and make sure they are able to relocate. We've had situations before where individuals were feeling unsafe to stay in Fairfax County for a reason. In that case, we would work with them in relocating outside of Fairfax County, whether it's outside of Virginia or working with them with other other emergency housing around us. And it's also depend every situation is different,
right?
But we kind of work with everyone. We try to be as creative as possible, because I know that emergency housing is very scarce. So as a result of that, we try to work with the person about what is their needs. And sometimes we work with individuals about maybe relocating with a family member, with a friend, someone that the person caused them harm doesn't know where they live. And if that's the situation, we work with them on if they need, for example, funds to go from one place to another, or they're looking for resources to be able to relocate, we would work with them on that.
Right.
So we try to be as open with the person who's calling us and the survivor who's calling us about the scarcity of the resources, but how can we be creative and how can we work around that?
Sure.
Whether it's finding Uber gift cards to Uber them somewhere that's 3 hours away, that's a possibility. Or just trying to figure out a different place where they can stay.
Okay. You mentioned several things here. You mentioned a couple of nonprofit partners that you work with, and the gift cards and money and all the needs. What are the partnerships and collaborations that y'all have? I know there's probably too many to call out and name here, but I'm sure that's important to the work that y'all are doing.
Definitely. We have the Domestic Violence Action Center, DVAC. This is a partnership between 16 partners. Part of these partnerships, we have Shelter House. We partner with Bethany House. But also there is a Way Forward, which is a nonprofit agency that helps us with funds, that basically a caseworker can request on behalf of a survivor. As I said, 16 partners who we work all together, to provide that support to survivors in Fairfax County.
Now, if someone is listening to this right now, is there a way for people to donate or give gift cards or give monetary gifts or in-kind gifts?
We definitely accept gift cards and in-kind gifts. We're not able to accept cash, but we had an individual before donate to our gift fund. And the gift fund, we usually would purchase things specifically for clients.
Okay.
We currently are accepting gift cards, and these gift cards are given directly to the clients.
Okay.
Whether it's Uber gift cards, major grocery stores, we've had individuals go file for protective order and get connected with an advocate and not have food at home because they just left an abusive relationship. So we actually created a limited pantry in our office where a survivor can come in and pick up what they need, whether it's food, whether it's hygiene products. Unfortunately, it's because it's in our office. It is not enough space to hold a lot of things.
Right.
So we have very basic hygiene products, basic food. That if someone is have to relocate, they can come in shop from that limited pantry. And sometimes when we don't have these items is when we go the extra step of providing gift cards because gift cards are very limited.
Yeah.
But also, we've used that gift cards for safety items, that I mentioned earlier, the camera. If someone wants to stay at their home, but they're concerned about being stalked by the person who caused them harm, we would help them purchase that camera, either Ring camera, purchase a new phone, getting a new phone started, kind of like these basic things, and we try to kind of connect them to it. To better plan for their safety.
Yeah. So how would someone go about, after hearing this, how would someone go about giving a gift card or donating?
They can just call us. Our main number is 703-246-4573. Or they can email us at dvac@fairfaxcounty.gov. And they can let us know that they are interested in donating, what they're interested in donating, which if it's food or basic hygiene products, or if they're interested in donating gift cards, and we would coordinate with them time to meet with them to get the items.
So make sure I get this number right, 703-246-4573, or they can email dvac@fairfaxcounty.gov if they have any gift cards or things they want to donate, or I'm assuming if they just want more information, or if they are a victim or someone who's a loved one of a victim, they can still use the same phone number and email address.
That is correct.
Okay. Any kind of information you need right there. All right. Got a few minutes left before we wrap up. Wanted to ask you, what are some of the challenges that you're facing in advocacy services? I know they're probably many, but if you could narrow it down to one or two, what are the biggest challenges you're facing right now providing this service?
I think one of the biggest challenges is limited resources. We have a lot of clients who come to us with a lot of needs, and there is limited resources in Fairfax County, but also nationwide for domestic violence and sexual violence survivors. We have a lot of clients, for example, need pro bono lawyers. And that's something that's, as much as there is legal services who are amazing partner who do a lot of work, a lot of time with complicated divorce cases, pro bono attorneys are very scarce.
Yeah.
Or emergency shelter. I know ShelterHouse is an amazing partner and they do as much as they can. But sometimes we have clients who need longer, like transitional housing, that's very scarce, in this area. I want to say something as simple as transportation. We do provide a lot of bus tokens for clients to be able to go find like employment, to be more self-sufficient. But with that, it's also a very, like, the bus system here is not as robust than other places.
Right.
So there is a lot of limited resources and we try our best to, connect clients with as much support as we can. But the biggest challenge is how can we be as creative as possible with limited resources?
Right.
I know that during the holiday, we had a lot of community members who donated a lot of gift cards, like items for clients. And it was very, helpful for families to go through the holiday season with the amount of support that we got from community members. But that's not something that we see every day. So this is why I'm saying it's the scarcity of resources out there.
Right. Always need them.
You know?
And it seems like during the holidays, folks are in a more giving spirit. We just need to have that giving spirit going around 12 months a year.
Definitely.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, make sure the phone number is that 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. like normal hours, or the extended hours? Or
we actually extended our hours so that clients, survivors can reach us. So we are open from 8 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Oh, okay. All right. So 703-246-4573. Or you can email dvac@fairfaxcounty.gov. And I would like to add right here at this point, if you are in danger, please just call 911 for your safety. Lydia, thanks for being on the podcast with us. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. That is going to do it for this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. Thanks again, Lydia, for being here, and thanks to you for listening. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County and our podcast webpage. That's fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.